page 232, Perek Mem Beis, Pasuk Gimel. The story of the hunger started. Everybody was coming to Yosef to buy food. What page?
232.
Everybody's coming to Yosef to buy food. Yaakov and the children still had food, but Yaakov says to the children, why are you showing off, so to speak, that you still have food and making everybody jealous? So Yaakov says to the children, I hear that there's food in Egypt. And as we learned, Rashi says, not only does it mean there's food, but there's hope. And he says, the last words of the pasuk was, V'nechi v'leinomus, we'll live and we won't die, which is, what's the double repetition? We'll live in this world and we won't die in the world to come. So he prophesies that Yosef is going to come back home, that you'll be able to be a happy family again. Because Yaakov was told by Hashem earlier that if any of your children die in your lifetime, you will not go to Olam Haba. So when he thought Yosef was dead, he thought he was going to lose his Olam Haba. But now he said, Velonamos, we won't die in the world to come, because he prophesied that Yosef is going to, not knowing what he prophesied, was that Yosef was going to come back. Okay, so the pasuk says, now Vayedo Achei Yosef Hasara, the brothers of Yosef went down 10. Simply, the correct English would be, 10 brothers of Yosef went down. To buy food from Egypt. Now, there's a few questions over here. Number one, why does the pasuk say Achei Yosef? Why does it say the brothers of Yosef? In a few psukim from now, in pasuk Hey, is going to say Vayavo b'nei Yisrael, that the children of Yisrael came. Why here does it say the brothers of Yosef? So it says because they all went down regretting what they did to Yosef. And they had in mind now that they're going to find him. They're going to look for him at least. They had a gut feeling he might be somewhere in Mitzrayim. Or at least everybody understood if there's a hunger all around the world, everybody's going to come to Mitzrayim. So they went and they hoped maybe we'll find him. So they went down, Achei Yosef, the brothers of Yosef, as in the expression that they went down to regret that they sold him to try to find him.
They knew he was alive.
They didn't know by now what was going on. They knew they didn't kill him. They didn't know what happened to him. Now, why did all 10 brothers have to go? So we learned already last week, Yosef made it in such a way that the brothers are going to be forced to come down. So what did he do? He did a number of things. First of all, he said, no servants are going to get food. You want food, you got to come down yourself to get it. Because then he was hoping the brothers would come down themselves. And also, Yosef closed, the Mefarshim say, all the granaries. He closed all the storehouses except one. Then he should have total control over what's happening to see exactly who's coming down into Egypt. Now, Yosef therefore said, in addition to the fact that Barbanel says they were all married by now, so they had their own households, so each one had to come down to get the grain. Why did Yosef want all the brothers to come down? Because like we said before, a while ago, Yosef took his dreams as a prophecy. Yosef, when he had his dreams, you know, about the wheat bowing to him and the sun and the moon bowing to him, Yosef took it literally that this is going to be a prophecy. Yosef had to do everything in his power to make sure the prophecy became fulfilled. And that's why, when 10 brothers came down, Yosef wasn't happy. Because the dream was, 11 stalks were bowing down to him. Or the sun and the moon, and 11 stars were bowing to him. So Yosef says, this is not good enough to fulfill the prophecy. I have to get Binyamin down. So that's why Yosef made all that tricks, that Binyamin should also be able to come down to Egypt.
But his father?
The father he wanted, he knew was eventually, once the brothers came down.
And the mother.
The mother was Bilhah. Like Rashi says before. Yaakov at the dream said to him, you're a fool, it can't be a dream because your mother's dead. But he didn't know it was Bilhah who raised him as a stepmother. So therefore... Yaakov Avinu understood that the dream is going to have truth to it.
I'm saying Yaakov also is Baal Karka, right?
Yeah, yeah, at the end, yeah.
At this stage, was Bilam the fourth of his wives?
Bilam was, well, the third.
Third?
Yeah.
Okay. Was the fourth?
No, Rachel, Leah, Rachel, Bilam, and Zilpah. Okay. Now, the Medrash also says, when Yosef's brothers came to Egypt, they didn't all go through the same gate. They went through, each one came through a different gate. For two reasons. Number one, they were all big, beautiful boys, men, they weren't boys anymore, they were men, and they didn't want to get Ayin Hara, the evil eye. So they went through different gates, nobody should see them. Another reason why they went through different gates, because they were hoping to look in every angle of the city for Yosef. So they each one went through a different gate to scout out that area rather than just the place itself. And also Yosef made a rule that whoever comes to Mitzrayim has to write his name on the immigration papers, you know, whatever they had in those days. And not only that, you have to register your name, your father's name, and your grandfather's name. And Yosef ordered that all the list of people should be brought to him daily, that he can look and see when the brothers come. Once the brothers came to town, Yosef called, like we said before, all the granaries except one, because he knew then they would have no choice but to come to him. So that's what Yosef was doing.
Rabbi, I have to say that all the years that I knew the story of Joseph and his brothers,
yeah.
What is amazing is never have I heard the suspicion that Joseph would be up to something evil when his brothers came down to Mitzrayim.
He wasn't too evil.
Well, after all, they wanted to get rid of him to maybe, you know, get the retribution.
Not to get rid. No. We'll see. We'll see. It's not what it is.
Okay.
Rabbi, you said that whoever had a family, out of the brothers, they came down, right?
Right.
Benjamin was married.
Well, we'll learn. Benjamin was married with 10 kids.
Wow.
Benjamin was 30. But yet, the pasuk is going to say now why Binyamin didn't go. There's Binyamin Achi Yosef, Binyamin the brother of Yosef. Why is he called out of all the brothers, the brother of Yosef? Because he had the same father and the same mother. He was the only one that had the same father and mother. So Binyamin the brother of Yosef, Leisholach Yaakov Esachov, Yaakov did not send with the brothers. Why? Ki Amar, because he said, Pen Yikre'ena us, unless an accident or disaster would happen. So Rashi says, what does it mean that lest an accident would happen, and an accident can't happen in the house? You know, so Rashi answers, Amar Ablaza ben Yaakov, because at the time of journey, there's a danger. Okay, a journey, the time of a journey is more prone to accidents. When you're in your house, the Satan doesn't act up so much. But on the trip, so Yaakov didn't send. The Medrash takes it a step further. Yaakov didn't want Binyamin traveling. Why? Rachel, his wife, died traveling. As far as Yaakov is concerned, Yosef got killed traveling. You know, when he went to the brothers. So Yaakov said, the mother was killed traveling. The brother was killed traveling. I'm going to send him. It's in the family already. So he didn't want to send him. So even though Binyamin was married, even though Binyamin had 10 kids at this time, nevertheless, Yaakov refused to send him. And he wasn't a kid, he was 30 years old. Okay? Nevertheless, Yaakov Avinu said, and they would split the food, I'm sure, between them, and at this time they still had food even, so he didn't want to come. Now, another thing over here is, Mefarshim explained, Binyamin didn't go down now, because as we know, when the brothers came down, now Yosef gave him a runaround for the money. You know, he tortured them a little bit. And we'll learn later why he did it. But the bottom line is, Yosef made him crazy. He called them spies and he locked them up. I mean, he really did a job on them. Binyamin was not in the selling. So Binyamin didn't have to merit, or not merit, he didn't have to get stuck with this torture that Yosef did to the brothers. The brothers had to get it because that was part of their repentance. In order for them to prove their repentance, Yosef had to see they were sincere, so they had to suffer a little bit.
Their repentance in the sense of looking back and saying, why is this happening? It must be happening because of what we did to our brother.
But that was later on, though.
Was that when they realized that?
Yes.
That what the culprit?
Well, even going down, as we said, the Pasuk says there were 10 brothers of Yosef because they repented already. But Yosef had to give him the final test of repentance, which was that they really felt sorry for what they did.
Well, didn't he sense that when he saw them going through what they had to do?
Not necessarily. It doesn't mean total repentance. Okay. That they should verbally confess their sin, because part of tshuva is verbally confessing the sin.
How and when did they do that?
We'll see later. They confessed their sins. Aval Hashem im anachnu, we are sinful. They did confess the sins later. But here, Binyamin didn't have to go through the torture because he wasn't part of the selling. He eventually had to come down because he also had to bow to Yosef, which was part of the initial dream. But he wasn't in a way that he was tortured.
Well, how do they confess? They confess to themselves?
Yeah, but that's all you got to do.
Or not in front of Yosef?
Well, it happened to be in front of Yosef. They didn't know that Yosef understood Hebrew.
Right. But it was never in front of the father.
No.
So it was necessary to do it to themselves.
Correct. The father, until now, probably didn't know what ever happened. I mean, he didn't know what happened.
Right.
Okay. And he said he didn't want an accident to happen. Everybody died, you know. Now, even though L'cha'era, you know, Yaakov is a tzaddik, Binyamin's a tzaddik. Binyamin was such a tzaddik. The Gemara says Binyamin was one of the four people that died only because God decreed death in the world. Most people die for their own sins. Binyamin was one of the four people that only died because God decreed death in the world. So he was a real, real big tzaddik. But righteous people are not allowed to rely on their righteousness. They have to do things in the normal routine of things.
So what is the other two?
One was Yishai. One was, I forgot the other two. It's a Gemara and Bava Basra, I don't remember offhand.
How old was Binyamin?
Binyamin, this time was 30.
No, he passed away.
I don't remember. It says later. I mean, okay.
Yaakov was not one of them?
No, Yaakov was not one of them. And I'm not one of them.
You don't know.
By Avail B'nai Yisrael, they came, the children of Yisrael came, and here again, they call him B'nai Yisrael. Why are they called now B'nai Yisrael? Rather than Achei Yosef. So number one it says, because Yaakov Avinu told them how to go. And therefore he gave them the schus that nothing should happen to them. So therefore now, once they're down already, they went as the brothers of Yosef. But now that they're down, they went in the merit of Yisro.
That's why it's not B'nai Yaakov, it's Yisrael.
Because this is going down to create the Jewish nation, so it's called Yisro. Yaakov Avinu was the one that told them that they shouldn't go down in one gate, that they shouldn't have an ayin hara. Okay, now they came lishbar b'seich abarim to buy food amongst the people here. Ki hoya rov beretz Canaan, because the hunger was in the land of Canaan, and everybody was forced to come to the land of Canaan. Now there's an interesting Yerushalmi over here. Yerushalmi says, why does it say B'nai Yisrael? The fact is the Torah uses the calls in B'nai Yisrael. So from here the Yerushalmi learns out that a minyan is 10 people. Because when the Torah speaks about the laws of Kedusha, the laws of sanctifying God's name, it says V'nigdashti b'soch B'nai Yisrael. I will become sanctified in the Jewish nation. So it says B'nai Yisrael. Here B'nai Yisrael is 10. 10 brothers went down. So from Yerushalmi learns out from here that a minyan is 10 people.
I thought it was a spy.
You're a scholar. Yeah. According to Yerushalmi, it's from this pasuk. Talmud Bavli, our normal Gemara, learns it out from the spies.
The Persian Talmud.
The Iraqi Talmud. They learn it out from the 10 spies. Mm. Which over there, there's a question. Over there is negative. Why are we learning out from something negative? But the point is, Yerushalmi learns it out from this pasuk. Here it says Bnei Yisrael, and it's 10 people. So you see, when the Torah of Nikdashia would become sanctified, Besoch Bnei Yisrael, and the Jews, it means 10 people. Okay, so what happened? The hunger was very strong in the land. Everybody came to Avraham Avinu. Everybody came to Mitzrayim. Like we find in historical times, when there was a hunger, Avraham and Yitzchak also went down to Egypt. Well, Yitzchak wanted to go, Hashem told him not to go. But Avraham, there was a hunger, Avraham went to Eretz Mitzrayim. Eretz Mitzrayim always had food. So therefore, everybody came to Mitzrayim. V'yesev hu ha-shalat al ha-oretz. Now Yosef was the viceroy over the land. Hu ha-mashpil al-chol ha-oretz. He was the one that gave food to everybody. Now, this pasuk shows that Yosef was the one that gave food to everybody. This is the proof that the Medrash uses, that Yosef ordered everything closed except his one storehouse. Because normally, a king doesn't sit there behind the counter selling grain to people. I mean, there are plenty of workers to do that, there are servants. The king of Egypt doesn't have to sit behind the counter and give out food. Here the Torah says, Hu amashbir l'chol am ha'aretz. He was the one that gave food for the entire world. Yeah? Why? So the Medrash says, we see from here that Yosef wanted to find if the brothers were coming. And he closed all the storehouses once he found out the brothers came to town. And therefore, he was talking giving food to everybody.
Well, he went through millions of names to the
food in
names?
Yep.
Computer.
Now, officially, the Ramban says another thing also. People, representatives, came from all the lands to buy food. Yosef was the one that checked out. He gave the okay. You know, he signed off. You know, how much to give, and when to give, and how to give. So everybody came before Yosef. Okay.
Would it make more sense to, and this is probably what happened, but I think what must have happened is, when the reason for having him sign, have everybody come in and sign their name, their father's name, their grandfather's name, was so that when they come, you would
be able to find them.
Huh?
That you'd be able to find them.
Yeah, it'd be easier than him having to go through the millions of people that have to come through and try and get their food.
Yeah, that's what basically most of the commentators explain. That's the reason he did it. Yosef had better things to do with his life than sell food. I mean, you can imagine what was going on there. A hunger. Everybody was probably trying to grab. I mean, you can imagine what was going on there. Just look at a kiddish.
Yeah.
When there is no hunger, right? How people grab as if there's a hunger for 10 years, not for 7 years.
Yeah,
you're right, that's true. That's true. That's a very good point. Okay. So it says, Vayavayach Yosef Pasik, in the middle of Vav. Vayavayach Yosef, the brothers of Yosef came, and again here it's called the brothers of Yosef. Vayishtachvu le'apayim archa, and they bowed to the ground. Like, you know, they bow with their face to the ground. And the pasuk says, Vayar Yosef esechov, Yosef saw his brothers, Vayakirim, and he recognized them. Then the Mefarshim ask, how did Yosef recognize them, and how did they not recognize him? And what exactly went on over here? Because soon we're going to say in the pasuk, Yosef recognized the brother, they didn't recognize him. So Mefarshim explain, Vayakir Yosef Esechov, Vayar Yosef Esechov, Yosef saw his brothers, Vayakirim, and he recognized them. So some Mefarshim learned, two stages happened over here. First he saw them, and then afterwards he recognized them. In other words, even initially, the pasuk could have said Yosef saw his brothers. The pasuk is not saying that. The pasuk is saying Yosef saw his brothers, and then the pasuk says, and he recognized them. Which means, at first, Yitaka didn't recognize them.
When he scrutinized
them, and then the Mefarshim say also, even now, he couldn't recognize who was whom. Now, you understand, they were away now for 22 years. Okay, they were away for 22 years. So even though, you know, sometimes when you expect somebody, you can recognize him. But Yosef collectively recognized them, but he didn't know exactly who was whom yet.
What about the way they were dressed, like Jews?
No, but who is who?
At least he knew that they were Jews. There's his
people. He collectively recognized them, yes. Yeah. Vayisnaker aleihem, he acted like a stranger. Vayidaberi tam koshis, he spoke harshly with them. The Ramban said, why did he speak harshly with them? He didn't want them to recognize him, so he changed his tone of voice that they shouldn't recognize him. Yosef did everything possible that they shouldn't recognize him in any way whatsoever.
He didn't speak Hebrew, he spoke
Mitzrayim
or something.
Of course he spoke, I mean, he didn't speak, they had a translator, no?
Yeah, but how in they recognizing
him? You can hear when somebody's yelling in any language.
Especially in German.
He didn't speak German, he spoke Egyptian. Arabic, I mean, he probably spoke Arabic. Oh, yeah. In other words, the Akedah, the Sepurna says, normally Yosef spoke very softly. The wise people speak softly. But Yosef didn't want the brothers to recognize him.
I'm sorry, Rabbi, what language did he speak to the brothers?
He spoke to the brothers now in Egyptian, which might have been Arabic, but officially it's called Lashon Mitzri, Egyptian. There was a translator. Yosef did not let on to the brothers that he knew Hebrew. That's why when the brothers later started talking between themselves in Hebrew, Yosef had to run away and cry, wash his face and come back, because obviously he still remembered Hebrew. The interpreter, interestingly enough, none of the Egyptians spoke Hebrew. So Yosef's little kid Menashe was the interpreter. So Rashi says later that the interpreter was Menashe, because who else? Even Potty didn't speak Hebrew, who knew all the languages. So which guy in Egypt is going to speak Hebrew? It had to be Menashe, Yosef's kids. Because at home,
Yosef,
a little kid. Mac, well, it's hard to say. 9 years old, for sure. No. For sure more than two. How much more than two, we don't know. It just says he was born before the hunger. So it could have been 7 years. It could have been maximum nine. Minimum two.
Well, two languages.
So what? Little kids of three can speak two languages. It's not a problem. And he probably spoke with his hands a lot too. So, you know, like Jews. if you tie the Jew's hands, he won't be able to communicate.
You're stereotyping now.
Yeah. You spoke with his hands, so you can't. Okay. Now some of Farshim learn, the Ramban also learns, what did Yosef do? He covered, like his turban or whatever it was, he covered it more over his face that they shouldn't recognize him. And therefore he says, by Yisnaket Aleim, the Ramban learns, it's not only that, like Rashi says, that he spoke harshly. By Yisnaket means he acted like a stranger, meaning he did things to hide his identity. So the Ramban learns he actually covered his face. Not like they walk around with the shmatas around like the Persian ladies of the
chador. You know,
whatever?
Veil or chador.
Whatever you call that. But he put his yarmulke down a little bit over his face.
Obviously he did not wear yarmulke, and the brothers did not wear.
Right. Well, it's hard to say.
Turban, they were just a little turban.
They wore turbans. Let me say, brothers didn't wear yarmulke. Come on, how could that be? Okay, the Mefarshim ask, why Taka did Yosef hide his identity from the brothers? So we learned a number of things. Number one, we learned that he had to make sure that the dream became fulfilled. Until Binyamin came down, he couldn't fulfill the dreams yet, so he had to do that. Another thing is that he was still bound by the vow that the brothers made in the pit, when he was in the pit, that he can't tell anybody. And the third thing is that the Mefarshim say, Yosef had to make sure that the brothers did tshuva. Yosef had to do things to get the brother to do tshuva. Like all the famous stories of tzaddikim, the tzaddikim told somebody, how are you going to know your tshuva was accepted when some this and this thing is going to happen? And the famous story with the storyteller of the Baal Shem Tov, the guy used to go around and tell stories. And the end of the story was, the guy who used to be a priest and then became a Baal Tshuva, realized that the guy that came to tell the stories of the Baal Shem Tov, he recognized him. And Hashem made that he should forget all the stories. And the person took it to mean, that his tshuva wasn't complete yet. So Hashem does certain things to bring out within the person that it should be an ultimate level of tshuva. And Yosef did that to bring out in the brothers that they should do an ultimate level of tshuva. And he had to do it by acting like a stranger and a foreigner. Otherwise it wouldn't have happened.
Rabbi.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me for a moment, but this has always been a curiosity with me. The Broadway play, big hit, Joseph and his Technicolor dream coat.
Yeah.
What, is that a reference to something we should know about the Joseph and his brothers?
I have one problem with that. I didn't see it. And I haven't the faintest idea. Okay. And I'll tell you another little secret, but don't tell anybody. I really couldn't even care less about it.
Okay.
That's it. But I don't know.
I don't lose any sleep over it.
I don't know. But if it is, they have it all wrong. Mm-hmm. Trust me. From what really happened.
The movie's very accurate, actually. The movie Yosef.
How could it be accurate if they never learned the Medrash?
I'm just saying from what... It's not accurate. I mean, it's very...
it's not accurate.
It's
not accurate at all.
Trust me, it's not accurate. You don't have to be intelligent to know it's not accurate. It's a goyish cup. How accurate can it be?
Yeah, but they can ask Jewish rabbis. About Midrashim, a lot of movies ask Jewish rabbis.
Okay. No?
What's the difference between the ultimate level of tshuva and other levels of tshuva?
There's a complete level of tshuva and there's incomplete tshuva. Incomplete tshuva is not a complete forgiveness. When a person is completely sorry, then they're forgiven. Okay.
Really? That easy?
That easy. Bye-bye. Okay. Aleihem, he spoke, he acted like a stranger to them. He spoke with them harshly. And he said to them, Me'ayin Basim, where do you come from? This is all an act. Of course he knew where they came from. He wants to show that he doesn't recognize them. So he's saying, where do you come from? To show that he didn't recognize them. And he asked a question angrily, as if it was unusual for strangers to come to him. So they answered, Me'aret Canaan Lishbar Eichel. We came from the land of Canaan to buy food. L'cha'era, they're not answering his question. I mean, they added to the question. He asked them, where are you coming from? So they should have said, from Canaan. Why is he telling we came from Canaan to buy food? I mean, first of all, that's not what he asked him. And in Pirkei Avos it says, a chacham answers the question, not what he's, what's not asked. Okay? Yosef says, that, where do you come from? They should have said from the land of Canaan. Why does English bar eichel? So the Mefarshim explain that the question was not a question, where do you come from? Because obviously everybody wrote where they came from. The question is, you're spies. So he answered, we're not spies, we came to buy food. That's number one. Number two, the Mefarshim answered a different answer. Why did the brothers say we came to buy food? There is a concept in Torah, what's called V'yisim Nekiyim Yashem Yisrael. A person is not allowed to do things that people will accuse them of doing something wrongly. Even if they're not doing anything wrong. But you have to have it clarified that people shouldn't think. Like the Pasuk says, you should be clean from God and from Jews. A person has to be clean. If somebody will suspect you for doing something wrong, you have to explain to them why what you're doing is not wrong. Otherwise, they might interpret it to mean that it's wrong. Normally, a Jew is not allowed to leave Israel. So if the brothers are saying, we're coming from the land of Canaan, the question is halachically, whether they have the right to leave Canaan. So they answered him, we're coming to buy food. It's a matter of life and death. For life and death, for sure, you're allowed to leave Israel. So therefore, they left only of Eretz Yisrael. They left Eretz Yisrael. That's what they're answering him. They're answering the question, but they can't say we came from Israel, because then the question is, why? What are you doing here in Egypt? So they're saying, we came to buy food, and therefore we were allowed to leave. Therefore we're allowed to leave Egypt.
Even up to now, the people that they make Aliyah in Israel, when they return, lots of people, they don't have a...
Let's not discuss the halachic problems with that. There are a lot of problems with that. Okay, so now the Pasuk Ches says, Vayakir Yosef Esachov. Again, the Pasuk says, Yosef recognized his brothers, Vehem Lahikiru. And then they didn't recognize him. Okay?
Yeah, two times he repeated himself.
Right. So the Rechaim explains, what is the Pasuk saying? Yosef recognized the brothers and they didn't recognize him. Because the Rechaim was asking, really, there's a question. Normally, it's like the secrets of the heart. If you recognize somebody else, most of the time they'll recognize you. Yet, like it says, K'mayim apanim l'panim, like the heart of a person to a person. That's the, like when you look into water, you see the reflection. So the question is, the Pasuk is emphasizing a point that even though Yosef recognized the brothers, they still didn't recognize him. In other words, the Torah stresses that he could easily recognize them. Like Rashi says, why? Because they all left when they had beards. Yosef left as a 17-year-old kid, no beard. All of a sudden he comes back, they see him with a big beard. They didn't recognize him. So the Mefarshim ask, but Yosef had brothers that were a year or two older than him. And yet, if he recognized them, why couldn't they recognize him? So the Mefarshim answered, like we said before, Yosef didn't recognize each brother. When he recognized the older brothers, he understood that these are the younger brothers. But on their own, Taka Yosef wouldn't recognize them.
He was made up in different costumes.
Exactly. I mean,
it's
different,
like,
different
dress.
And after all those years,
they were still dressed.
The Evan Ezra answers, by the way, let me just finish this point and then I'll discuss your question. The Evan Ezra also says, why does it say again, Vayakir Yosef Esachov, that Yosef recognized the brothers again? He says, the first time he recognized them collectively. Now, the Torah is saying he recognized each brother individually. He recognized each brother individually. There's another interpretation that Yosef recognized his brothers and they didn't recognize him. What does it mean they didn't recognize him? Later on in Chumash, when Yosef sent a message home to his father, I'm alive, Yaakov didn't believe him. He didn't believe him. He saw the wagons that Yosef sent, all of a sudden he believed him. Why, the brothers couldn't buy wagons in the street. I mean, what do the wagons have to do? So Rashi says over there that the last din Yaakov was learning with Yosef was alone, Egla Arufa. What's Egla Arufa? Agol is the same word as Egla. What's Egla Arufa? That if you find a dead body outside the city and you don't know who killed him, you measure it to the closest city. The people, the elders of the city, have to take this calf, chop off the head, and say, we didn't shed this blood. So, what does this have to do with one thing with the next? The answer is very simple. We learned in the past, Yosef is called Yosef HaTzadik. Reuven is not called Reuven HaTzadik, Shimon HaTzadik, Levi HaTzadik. Only Yosef is called the Tzaddik. Because Yosef was greater than all the brothers. What was Yosef's greatness? Yosef's greatness was that he was able to be a leader of Egypt, which was the superpower of the world, and still be religious. All the other brothers, what they basically did were shepherds. What's a shepherd? A shepherd takes sheep out of the flock into the field. They eat, and he can sit and daven and learn and do all the things that he has to do. The brothers were not able to be on the level of Yosef to be a tzaddik, even in Mitzrayim. That they couldn't be. Yosef comes to the brothers, and he recognizes them. They didn't recognize him. So Siddus explains, what does it mean they didn't recognize him? We're not talking about the physical thing over here. They said, this cannot be Yosef. That Yosef should be a tzaddik in Mitzrayim, they said they can't be. Because they weren't on that level. They said, Hein lehikiru, they didn't recognize Yosef because they said, it can't be that Yosef should be a leader in Mitzrayim and still remain the frum Jew. So therefore the Pasuk said they didn't recognize him. It wasn't only the beard and not the beard. You know, they didn't recognize him because he couldn't be such a level. Why were they wrong? Because Yosef was such a tzaddik, he was able to be on that level. Okay, they didn't recognize him. Okay, beard, not beard. Yosef knew also, there's another issue over here. Yosef knew that the brothers are going to come. So he was waiting for them. When you're waiting for somebody, it's like, give you a gashmistic example. You know somebody's coming on the plane, yeah, and the guy walks off the plane, even if you never saw him, you can recognize this is probably the guy you're looking for. But the guy would be walking in the street, you wouldn't know him. Okay? So Yosef understood the brothers are going to be coming down to Mitzrayim, and so Vayaki Yosef Zachov, he recognized him because he was anticipating their coming. They never dreamt Yosef is going to be in Mitzrayim, especially there. Especially being the king, so for sure they didn't recognize him because they didn't expect him to come. Okay, so now the Pasuk says, Vayizkir Yosef Yisachalemis, Yosef reminded himself of the dreams, Ashecholam Lohem, that he dreamt about them. And now, as Rashi comments, it means that Yosef understood at least part of the dreams are coming fulfilled. Not 11, but 10 at least are becoming fulfilled. And now, Yosef has to make sure, like we said before, that the brothers are really doing a real level of tshuva. So what does he do? Vayizkir Yosef etzachalayim etzachalayim lehem, vayemar lehem, he said to them, Meraglim atem, you are spies. Now, why did Yosef call them spies? Why didn't he call them terrorists? Why didn't he call them thieves? Where does this expression concept of spies come from? So the Mefarshim say very simply, if Yosef wanted to suspect the brothers of something wrong, Yosef was very smart. He saw the brothers coming in 10 doors. Right? The most probable bad thing they were doing is to be a spy. If not, what else would they come in 10 doors? To be a gan if you can come through one door. So Yosef did the most legitimate accusation that the brothers would have had not been able to say, no, we can't. And Yosef actually proved it to them.
Isn't that he wasn't angry with them only because...
What?
His anger, I mean...
He's not angry.
No, no, but... I know he's not angry. That's why I'm asking.
No.
Because he has such a love for his father that he forgave them and he didn't want to anger his father.
That's not why Yosef forgave them.
Did he really forgive them for all what they did?
Of course. Because Yosef is going to say later, he says, you didn't send me here, God did. Yosef says to the brothers, you didn't send me here, God
did. Okay, but the same thing with Pharaoh. God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Pharaoh could not have done it, but he still did it. So he says, still have the personal responsibility to have put him or threw him in the pit. I mean, they did something that was sinful.
And but the end
from his father, who loved him so much.
The ends justify the means don't justify the ends, as they say in English. The fact that they threw Yosef into the pit, in the end result, was it good or bad?
Good.
Good.
I understand God's plan. I'm speaking just individually between brothers.
But Yosef, at now though, at this time, saw already that this was completely the hand of Hashem, and therefore it was completely good in an open way. Mm-hmm. Now, a Jew has to have a emunah that whatever Hashem does is good, regardless. Whatever Hashem does is good, period. Sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't see it. Just because we don't see it, though, doesn't make it wrong. Now, Hashem is showing us in the Chumash, like somebody was once talking, not long ago talking to me, he had to go have a discussion with somebody, and the guy was asking him, we mentioned this a few times already, the guy was asking him, if you look in Chumash, is a bunch of dysfunctional families. From the beginning of Chumash, it's a bunch of dysfunctional families. The first family, I don't mean Bush, the first family, Cain kills Hevel. Mm-hmm. Right away, Shalom Aleichem, pow, kill him. Okay? Then you have, Avram had Yishmol and a Yitzchak, killing each other. Well, at least Yishmol's trying to kill Yitzchak, yeah? Then you have Yitzchak, two brothers, Yaakov and Esav. This guy wants to kill this guy. This guy's stealing his brachas. I mean, take that in today's world. It's completely dysfunctional family. Exactly. Then you have Yaakov and the kids. Bachlal. Jealousy. Throwing into a pit. Snitching. I mean, everything from A to Z. If you analyze this, it seems to be completely dysfunctional families. No author will write bad about himself. An author is not going to write bad about himself. Hashem in the Torah seems to write about a lot of Jewish dysfunctional families. But the answer is, it's not dysfunctional. That is what had to happen. There had to be Yaakov and Esav. There had to be a Cain and Hevel. There had to be Yosef and the brothers. By some of the stories, you see a happy ending. By some of the stories, you don't see a happy ending. Mm-hmm. By Yosef and the brothers, the Torah is showing us the happy ending to such an extent that everybody openly realized what the purpose of everything was that happened. Okay? Now it makes sense, the snitching, because the brothers had to become jealous. Right? Because of that, they threw him into the pit. Because of that, they sold him. Because of that, Fatifa's wife. Because of that, the butler and the baker. Because of everything happened as part of the scenario. Now, there's two issues, like we said, millions of times. If A kills B, B was supposed to die. A is punished not because B died, but because he did an act of murder. We went through this millions of times, right? Now, Yosef is facing a scenario. He ended up in Egypt. That was destined for Hashem completely. That was 100% good. Okay? Now, Yosef is trying to see that the brothers, for what they did, not that Yosef was sold, what they did, they had to repent for. So Yosef, out of his great love to his brothers, regardless of what the brothers did to him, and like it says in the Zohar, you have to learn from Yosef and his brothers, that even though they wanted to kill him, and they threw him into the pit and everything, Yosef took care of them unbelievably. So that's what the Zohar said, you have to learn from Yosef and his brothers. So Yosef loved his brothers so much, he wanted that they should be cleared from their wrongdoing. Not what happened, but from their wrongdoing, what they did. So Yosef, sometimes, you have to punish somebody to cleanse them. Mm-hmm. So Yosef did what he did over here with this funny games. And trust me, Yosef cried when these things were going on. Yosef was upset, but Yosef said, you know what, I got no choice. It's like when you have a bris and you do the bris, the mother's crying. Yeah, or you have to, the kid needs a shot. The mother, not the kid, the mother cries. Right? Well, what are you crying about? It's good. But it's still suffering. You know, the kid's got the shot. Right? So Yosef had to do things to the brothers to make sure that they, on their perspective, on their attitude, that they did 100% tshuva.
Yosef was not hearted enough to finish the punishment. Didn't finish it. This was
the Malchus, but he did whatever he was able to. Yeah.
Isn't really what we're seeing is like a lot of cause and effects that could have been achieved in a different way. Let's say, if in other words, could God's glory have been achieved without the Jews going to Egypt and without Yosef being thrown in the pit? Hashem would have found another way that to achieve it. So in other words, it's just a result of the fact that they did make a mistake. That's why the events happened. If they didn't, they would have done already a tshuva, and something else would have happened.
Obviously, God could have done a lot of things. God could have created us in the land of Israel, everybody, and we should stay there and always be there.
No, but that could have happened.
It's true.
It was supposed to.
Hashem didn't want it that way, because only through these descents. Descends, do you go to a place that you would otherwise not be able to go? Yes, Hashem could do whatever he wants. Hashem could have made us a nation, get the Torah, go straight into Eretz Yisrael, you know, and that's it. But Hashem decided not to do it this way. You can't ask a question why Hashem does something a certain way and not another. One second, I'll give you an example. In the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos, what we're going to be learning this Shabbos, it says Hashem created the world in 10 sayings. God could have done it with one. So what's it? Matamad Leimer. So the Rebbe explains, the question of the Mishnah is not why God did it in 10 and not 11. He had to do it somehow. I'll give you another example. God made the sun 93 million miles away from Earth, yeah? 93 million miles. Why couldn't God make 94.5 million? Or 98 million, or 90 million. Why did Hashem create it the exact distance? Why did Hashem create the diameter of the earth, or the circumference of the earth, the exact measurement that he made it? Why didn't he make it a mile less or a mile more?
This is the best.
You can't ask questions. He did it this way, he did it this way.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
The question is, what does it teach us? Uma Talmud Leimer, the Mishnah says, not why God did 10 and not 11. Mata Mudlaim, what does it teach us, the fact that we know now that Hashem made it in 10? That's the question the Jew asked. You can't ask, why did Hashem make it this way and this way and this way? He could have done it a lot of different ways. Yes.
No, I'm not asking why.
What are you asking?
I'm saying, it happened. It's a result, yeah, in this particular case of man's free choice.
But Hashem
in
could.
In other words, if you have a test to take, and you study nothing, and you fail the test, and you study an hour, you know, you study well and you do well on the test. So what's the result of the test? If you didn't study, you failed the test. Did Hashem want you to fail? Yes. You chose not to study, so you failed the test. If you chose to study, you would have got an A on the test. So the brothers, in other words, made free choices that were a cause and effect. And this is what Hashem's result was, based on a cause and effect.
No, but it's Hashem's choice. And I'll tell you why. Why are you starting with the brothers? Lavan messed up.
I'm saying all of them.
If Lavan gave Rachel first, if Lavan gave Rachel first, and Yosef would have been the firstborn, would the brothers be jealous?
No.
No, firstborn is firstborn. Lavan had no free choice in what he did.
Did he switch the sisters?
Right.
He would have been messed up.
Everything's possible. We're messed up even with it.